Hello and welcome to Hadfield Education's Good to Great webinar series, where I interview the head teachers within the UK education sector. And today I'm joined by Jonathan Cuff, who is the head teacher of Doverbreck School in Oxford. Hello, Jonathan. How are you?
Yeah, fine. Thanks, Lee. Thanks for having me.
No problem. No problem. Thank you for being here. So, Jonathan, tell me, how did you get into teaching?
It was kind of always destined to be, really. My father was head of an independent prep school, and so I grew up living on site and had all the kind of wonders of the games fields and everything like that at my disposal. I was there from 7 to 18, and it was kind of all I was ever going to do, I think. So, yeah, I was destined for it, really.
And what was your path into teaching?
I finished school, and then I did a gap year working at a school, kind of doing all the dog's body jobs and lugging the PE equipment around and things like that. And from there, I went to Brunel, to the old Borough Road Teacher Training College, and did 4 years there, and then straight into school. So I haven't, you know, some head teachers in this day and age have gone through various kind of disguises of different work, but I was always going to do education and really followed the old traditional path straight into it.
So being an NQT, as it's now deemed, what were your initial learns within your first few years of teaching?
I was very fortunate. I had a great PE kind of mentor at the time, a very experienced PE teacher, a lady there who kind of showed me the ropes and really, I came out a young buck from university and felt I knew exactly how to do everything straight away. And she really taught me quite a lot about teaching and different ways of teaching to a different kind of a different audience of students. So there isn't just one way. There's plenty of ways to get your message across and allow those students to learn. So yeah, she was very influential, and it really taught me that there's more than one way to skin a cat, really.
Excellent. And in terms of your progression into middle leadership, how did that pan out?
I went from when I first got a job at my first school, I was actually in residential boarding accommodation. I was a kind of an assistant housemaster tutor type role anyway. And from that, I kind of had a love of pastoral care anyway, and kind of the PE games thing, I think, traditionally sits quite nicely with that. Yeah. And I then went on to be a housemaster at two different schools. And so I always had my eye on that kind of deputy head pastoral type role. And I guess through the experiences gained over kind of 12 years of doing housemastering at two schools, I applied having my eye on always what I wanted to do. And so I got into senior leadership as a deputy head pastoral.
Fantastic. And in terms of your path, because you're obviously quite a new head teacher, how's that worked for you?
It's good. I had about 4 years of senior leadership experience of a deputy head pastoral in one school. I then moved to the school I'm currently at in Oxford as a senior deputy, but also kind of overlooking the pastoral care. And then from there, the opportunity came around to take on the principal role, and I kind of stepped in to do it that way. So I'd say it's not unusual in this day and age to have kind of a senior deputy step up to be a principal, but I didn't really go through that application process that is still the norm.
Was that always in your plan? Did you always plan to be a head teacher?
Yeah, probably. If the honest answer is probably at the back of my mind, that was something that I thought I'd be reasonably good at. But I'd always been taught from an early point in my career that you just focus on what you're doing and you don't look that far. You know, my aim has always been focus on short-term achievable goals, and otherwise you're going to miss what's directly in front of you and where you're busy looking at the horizon. So yeah, it's kind of happened. I think within the independent sector, it's important to have some sort of plan, know your way through if that's where you want to go. But yeah, it's kind of worked out quite well. So I'm delighted to be here.
And in terms of guidance and sort of mentor, who's been the biggest sort of influence and mentor within your teaching?
It's a difficult one. I mean, I wouldn't really put one person's name down next to it because I've kind of had teaching roles. I've had roles within the games programs at the school I've had, and I've had obviously senior leadership roles. And there's been probably key people within those different spheres of work that have had a great influence on me. The lady I mentioned about the head of PE at my initial school, I had a very good deputy head partial when I turned to first being a housemaster, who was an experienced man and kind of guided me through that as a young housemaster. And when I moved to my first deputy headship, the head who appointed me again the second time, and they were very influential as well. So yeah, kind of different people at key points really.
Excellent. And what advice would you give to any NQTs or people that are thinking of starting a teaching career?
NQTs, I think, you know, there are, my main piece of advice would be there are a lot of great teachers out there. And from my own experience, you know, coming out thinking I knew everything out of university, that actually there are so many different ways to teach, and really not let anybody tell you how to teach and how your personality should come across in a lesson. It's got to be you. But to, you know, to go and observe great teachers in your school, I think, you know, observation is well known, but it's still such an undervalued commodity. You know, we have these great examples happening every day in our schools, and for young teachers to actually go and look at a variety of lessons, possibly totally not related to their own academic subject, I think is a brilliant way to see how different people are trying to access young minds in different ways.
Sure. Okay. And in terms of within school, what current initiatives do you have running?
We have a great new program called Discovery Plus here at Dover Brookes, which it really kind of tries to expand what we do in terms of branching out outside of the curriculum. It's delivered within our activity program. Students sign up to it. They're amazingly keen. It's new this year, and it looks at current affairs, a variety of world events, things that are really happening today and are relevant, and actually things that they will probably be asked to interview. And it's staggering that we've got we've got bright students, but you actually investigate real genuine current topics, and you're sometimes a little bit dumbstruck by the amount they don't know. And so they are going through this program. They do it in a 6-week block, and then eventually they come together and they present all their findings, their information in a kind of it's like a game. It's like a game show where they are presenting their different findings on different subjects, and the panel will judge how much they've learned and what they're doing. And yeah, we're really hopeful for it in terms of increasing the breadth of knowledge of our students in a world which is very exam focused and very results driven. Actually, our belief is that it's that broad understanding of the world and the bigger issues in the world combined with their subject knowledge that is specific for their exams that will make them a genuine candidate for the top universities.
Sure. And you touch on that, but where do you foresee the education sector moving towards in the next sort of, you know, 3-5 years? Huge emphasis on like you say, more sort of rounded technology and different angles of education. Where do you foresee it going?
And obviously there's been a lot written about kind of online learning with various, I won't name them, but various schools who are now launching kind of online platforms. I think that's a really interesting development that we'll see. I don't think it will ever really capture what it's like to go overseas and study in an English school, for instance. But I think it's certainly got legs because of cost implications, things like that, for students around the world to have access to the British curriculum. I think, you know, obviously that one of the main challenges that we as educators have got at the minute is with the massive explosion in mental health, and you know, how we actually as schools deal with that, and where our responsibilities lie with that, because, you know, we have a firm understanding that happy students are successful students, and therefore it's all in all our interests to have them happy and healthy and working hard and achieving. So I think that's going to become an increasing challenge. You know, how upskilled do we need our staff to be in the modern age to deal with the multitude of issues that students bring through the door? And it's obviously, it's a challenge, and it's a challenge on staff time. You know, do they teach 22 hours a week? Do they now need to teach 18 hours a week because they're now dealing with X amount of issues? Is it right that they deal with those issues? It's a really interesting time. And I think one that only is gonna develop and grow to a point where we really need to make some decisions about it.
Certainly. A teacher's work is never really done, is it? Because if you think about the number of hats that they end up wearing, it really is a phenomenally challenging position, given the not only sort of the diversity of what they're expected to do, but also then the diversity of the learner as well. And it can be incredibly sort of rewarding from seeing, you know, little Johnny Shortpants progress through and do really, really well. But also it must be incredibly humbling when they face sort of a little bit of adversity and have to help a student and a pupil through a certain, you know, period of adversity and difficulty as well. So, and in terms of school, is there anything in particular that you're doing within school where mental health is concerned?
I think we're very fortunate. We're in a very fortunate position. A lot of schools say they have a unique kind of relationship with their students. I think, you know, Doverbrook is one that is absolutely known for that. We work incredibly collaboratively with our students. We run a particular program called a Director of Studies program, where our Director of Studies, the teacher, and if you want to call it, and I'll get shot for calling it at school, but if you want to call it a tutor, but it's more of a specialist tutor for a small, very small group of students. They don't have tutor meetings at sixth form. They meet individually, and they will deal with pretty much everything to do with that student's life, and they do develop very close relationships with those students. And I think the Doverbrook's model is probably, in my opinion, why it's such an exciting place to be. It's probably ahead of the curve in terms of education. You know, I think societies as a whole, children as a whole, students as a whole, they don't really want to be educated like it's 1970 with X amount of military rules and whatnot. You know, there is a sense of, there's a different emphasis on what they think is acceptable and what not. And, you know, we don't have a uniform. So, I don't know, a girl walking into a sixth form physics lesson doesn't walk in, and the first conversation the physics teacher is having is saying, "Your skirt is too short." Because actually, you know, we all know that probably alienates that girl for a period of time, when actually the emphasis for us is on collaborative relationships and learning. Sure. So, you know, I think the whole Doverbrook's ethos for me is the reason why we've grown so rapidly and why we're so successful in what is a very competitive market in Oxford.
Sure. And what about you in terms of progression and what are you looking to implement over the next couple of years?
Well, I mean, we are in a period of growth. We have been for the last 3 years, let's say, and it's quite kind of rapid growth. I think we were at 520 students probably 3 years ago. We are 670 now, and we're going to continue to grow. So with that, we've obviously our biggest challenge is the infrastructure that sits below that growth. And making sure that we are still able to do exactly what we say on the tin, which is treat all those students as individuals and know them. So it's really, I guess, the main schooly challenge, if you want to call it, is supporting via infrastructure and being clever about how we do things, the growth and maintaining the uniqueness of the school, even though it's grown substantially.
And how do you build a successful team, do you feel?
To be honest, the most successful teams have the best players. And you can't get away from that. So it's about analysing the team that you've got. But often we're dealt a set of cards, and they're the cards we have to play with. But it really it's the same as any good games team. Really, you know, you've got to make those people within your team feel valued, that they have a significant input, and actually probably that they are one of the most valuable members of that team.
Sure.
And you know, my style is very much to give them the scope to go and deliver what they believe in. We are a very collaborative SLT. I think we get on well. I'm going to say that, but I think we do. But yeah, I mean, it's about generating that sense of common purpose. I'm fortunate. I've come into a school where we do have some experience SLT, and they have grown up on that journey of Dover Brooks, and they love the school for what it is. So, you know, anything that they say is really not out of personal benefit or gain that they might get out of it. It is out of a love of the school and wanting to kind of maintain and cherish the unique ethos that we have. So, it's about getting your best players in place. It's about giving those best players the opportunity to actually do what they're good at. You know, it's no point us as heads employing people and telling them what to do, because, you know, we can employ anyone to do that. You employ people who are better, more capable than you, so they make you look good. And I think, you know, fortunately, I've kind of walked into a situation where we've got a great leadership team here. So, it's pretty good.
Excellent. And what about outside of work? What sort of do you do to sort of get away from work?
I like a game of golf when the weather's better and I've got time, and I'm also a big Welsh rugby fan, so I can also be fan sitting on the couch and watching a little bit too much rugby on the weekends. That's me playing a bit of golf with my son and watching a bit of rugby, I think.
Fantastic. And what's the latest book that you've read?
I'm actually just onto the new Warren Gatland autobiography. So yeah, that's my latest kind of couple of day read, if I can say that. Not very educational, but very good.
Fantastic. And what's your favourite work app?
It's probably an app called Due, that helps you plan, and it pops up on your phone and tells you various things that you should be doing. It's like my PA in my pocket. So it's needed because it's busy.
And what about your favourite sort of personal app outside of work?
Good question. I've got a couple on my phone. Probably the one I use most is, again, it's going to be my rugby related. It's probably the BBC Sport app that I regularly check things on when I haven't got time to actually sit down and watch it.
Excellent. And if you weren't a teacher, what career path would you have chosen?
I mean, it would certainly be something to do with child student development. I'm not 100% sure on probably what that would have looked like. As I said, I always had my kind of career and what I wanted to do in front of me. I wasn't one of those people who ever thought about other options, really. I did tinker with wanting to work in a golf shop at one point, but that never really materialised. But yeah, I think it would be something to do with young people anyway.
Excellent. And in terms of the within school, are there any initiatives that you want to share that people need to know about?
No, not particularly. As I mentioned, you know, we're always looking to do new things, and the Discovery Plus that we're doing this year is our big thing, and we've got a huge uptake of that. You know, we've got a new enrichment program that's running again this year, which hopefully covers and is a forward thinking enrichment program, which covers a lot of the things that probably the more traditional kind of, you know, the sex, drugs, cigarette, you know, don't smoke education is kind of gone, and we're covering more relevant, up-to-date things. But yeah, really for us this year, it's about consolidation. It's about the Discovery Plus program. It's about continuing to support the mental health of the students in the school to get the best out of them. We've got, you know, a fabulous suite of counsellors who come in and work at the school alongside the staff, helping both staff and students. We place I like to think we place great emphasis on the well-being of staff and students. So, you know, our end game is always to try and broaden the students' academic opportunities. You know, we do that by, we have 35 A-level options anyway, so they've got a pretty broad selection of subjects that they can study, but it really is to give them every opportunity. And, you know, one of the things I'm always proud about that we always come across when people come for interview is they say that, you know, we must be one of the only schools with on our principles, on our guiding principles, one of them is laughter. And and they always say, well, that's so unique, and we're like, well, actually, you know, we genuinely engage with that idea that we need to have that collaborative, happy relationship with students. And so, you know, in terms of new things, Discovery Plus, but it's really more of the same for us at the moment.
Okay, excellent. And what's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Obviously via the school and via my PA. They can find me on Twitter at DBX Principal. I'm not a massive tweeter, but I do occasionally dabble. They would be the best points of call by Twitter and at the school.
Excellent. Well, what I'll do, I'll put the links to your Twitter and also to school and contact details in the role below, and I'll probably pop up on the screen somewhere as well. And thank you ever so much for your time. It's been really informative.
Yeah, thanks, Lee. It's been absolutely great.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.